We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
We know one school that has mapped out a plan and is getting ready to execute on that. We'll talk to one of their head coaches in just a second here. It's Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. Here with you guys. Trey Wingo scheduled day off today, but Dad, a lot of news around the world of sports. Texas opening up the prospect of pro stadiums, outdoor stadiums being able to hold up to 25% of their capacity.
So this was the first kind of official statement we've heard. Again, the CEO of the Dolphins say that they had a plan for it, but not that they were allowed to do it. We heard Gene Smith, the AD of Ohio State, said they had a plan for it, but nobody said they were allowed to do it. Now Texas is actually saying you're allowed to do this. If you go through the proper application and the proper process, you will be allowed to fill your stadiums a quarter of the way. Pro stadiums at this point. We haven't heard anything about college stadiums.
No, we haven't heard anything about college there, but we've heard as the NCAA lifted its moratorium on athletic activities on campuses and the Southeastern Conference followed suit in that, there are schools that are preparing for the idea of student athletes being able to come back to campus for those voluntary summer workouts. And at the University of South Carolina, that includes not only football, but men's and women's basketball,
right,
who, and I remember from my time at summer schools back at Notre Dame, where were all the teams that tended to be on campus.
And it was right around now, right? Beginning of June, you guys would all go back to campus.
During that time period. So for more on the preparations for athletes to come back, as well as how she's been dealing with this pandemic, including her portion of the upcoming Peloton ride Saturday that I will also be a part of. South Carolina head women's basketball coach Dawn Staley joins us now on Golic and Wingo. Coach, good morning. We really appreciate your time. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate it, and we'll get to a second.
Yes.
The race that we've got coming up this weekend and the calories that we're all about to burn in this one for a great cause. But we were just mentioning it there. South Carolina is one of the schools that is getting ready to welcome back student athletes for voluntary workouts potentially this summer. And we know your program, certainly one of the best in all of college athletics, it has a chance to be a part of that. What are you and the women's basketball program getting prepared to do this summer about the possibility of the student athletes returning to campus?
You know, it's so fluid. Yeah, I sent a text out on Monday saying we're going to return sometime before July 1st. And then I just sent a text out yesterday, and I pushed that date back to July 1st. And who knows? It's so fluid. Each and every day we're trying to figure out what is going to be our protocol when they come back. We're trying to set up Zoom calls with the parents to make sure that we dispel some of the concerns that they have. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard. And also, it's going to be hard on the athletes because they're going to have to be quarantined before they get tested, while they're being tested, and a little bit after. And, you know, young people are going to be young people. They're going to probably go out and do what young people do throughout the day. And then us coaches, we're going to probably be at home and still quarantining ourselves and wearing our masks. And we're susceptible to whatever it is they get into. So, you know, there's a little angst on my end and bringing our kids back. But there has to be a starting point.
Go ahead.
And July it is.
I was going to say, Dawn, we all remember that age, 18 to 22, we're all invincible and all think nothing is going to affect us. So at this point, though, in talking to your president and or your AD about protocols, where are you right now when the women show up back on campus? What protocols do you guys have set in place right now?
Well, right now, we're going to test, and we're going to keep our players in clusters of four. And they will quarantine themselves in clusters of four, and we test them, and we'll see what those results are. If anybody tests positive for it, those four will be quarantined. And then at some point, the three other people who aren't, who didn't test positive, will be retested at some point. And then we're only allowed to be in the weight room at this time in small clusters. And then we'll progress to getting out on the court once we got everybody's test results back and they're negative, and we will progress as needed. But we also have the football team who will be back a lot sooner than us. They're going to be back June 8th. So we got a few weeks to see how their protocols are turning out in order to give us a good idea of how we need to proceed.
Dawn Staley joining us, South Carolina women's basketball coach. And from the pro sports, all you hear from the athletes especially is there's got to be thousands and thousands of tests. In college sports, it could be a little more difficult with the amount of athletes you all are dealing with as far as expense. So the plan, from what I'm gathering right now, you correct me if I'm wrong, they'll be tested for the virus when they first get back to campus, and then if a negative test is there, after that, it would just be temperature checks through each station to see if they show any signs?
Yes. Every day there'll be a temperature check, and they're going to check for the antibodies. So, and if there are test positive for antibodies, then we go into they have to take in an EKG to make sure that nothing's going on with their hearts. And, you know, they're going to clean after each cluster of players lift. I did ask about, you know, what about their apartment? Do we need to bring in people to periodically clean every day, every week? Because that's important as well, because I know our players aren't going to stay, you know, 23 hours in their rooms or their apartments. That's hard for a young person. So we have to make sure that all those things are covered to keep the spread of this virus under control.
Dawn, I'm curious, and you mentioned obviously trepidation on your part and some of the other staff members who may be a little more at risk for this than, say, the kids in the age range that'll be a part of these teams, but also the Zoom calls with parents. How did those go? What was the feedback that you were getting from a lot of the parents as you guys started to roll out this plan?
Well, we haven't had that Zoom call. That's in the plan over the next week or so. But I've been talking to parents. Like, I talked to one parent who's very concerned about sending, you know, her daughter back. And she said, well, I have to get a first class ticket now because I'm not going to chance flying her back in coach where she's susceptible to, you know, other people. So, you know, it's taxing on our parents because they are fearful. But they also know that we do have to start somewhere. And fortunately for us, our campus will open up to our athletes, to men's and women's basketball and football. So, you know, once we get started, if there are any, if our parents have any fear of sending their daughters back, I say keep them home. You know, I don't want our parents to feel uneasy about anything, but I also want to give them an opportunity on this future Zoom call to get out any angst or concerns. And if they're really that concerned, then I say, you know, we bring in the players and parents who are willing to come in, and there's no punishment for anybody that doesn't want to come in. We just want to make sure that we give them the safest opportunity to reboot college basketball. We're gonna have to start somewhere, and I'd rather for it to start in the summer versus in the fall. You know, when we're jump starting our actual season.
I'm glad you had said that. That was the next question I was going to ask, because we've heard one other, I believe it was
Iowa,
their AD, talk about that there were. So you're saying there's no punishment if any player just says they don't want to come back and don't want to be involved with this, they don't lose scholarship, they don't lose anything, right? No punishment at all.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Absolutely. Great to hear. Yep. It seems like that's something we're hearing more and more regularly, that the student athletes will be protected if there is discomfort around this. And Dawn, this is interesting because you guys, especially in the basketball side of athletics, were a part of the shutdown, the NCAA tournaments, both canceled, a lot of the conference tournaments affected. I'm curious, has there been any talk about what the format of the season might look like, fan involvement or anything like that, or is that so far down the road at this point?
Yeah, that's so far down the road. We just want to make sure we have a season. I know what we are feeling. There are going to be severe budget cuts. So that's what we're feeling. Whether you know, playing partial season, half the season, it's just a conference season. I don't know what that entails. I know that there are going to be a lot of us busing to games rather than our usual chartering. Wow. to basketball games. But, you know, what we want is to get back to some normalcy as best we can. If that's wearing masks, that's what we'll have to do. If it's continuing to wash our hands for at least 20 seconds, that's what we'll do. But I do think sports is a huge part of the fabric of our lives. All of us are feeling this. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, we can get a vaccine. We can get something to get back to some normalcy. But I think the time off has gotten us back to some of the simpler things in life. You know, I get to walk my dog, you know, every morning and every night and during the day. I get to talk to my family a lot more than I usually do. And if there's anything that's good, and it's not a whole lot of good that's coming out of it because so many people are being impacted by it, I mean, it is that, you know, you get to get a little bit closer with your family members. You talk to your friends. I got my Zoom voice right now because I've been Zooming, you know, over the past 2 months. But it's been great gathering information and getting to know different people. I did a Zoom with the Boston Celtics the other day, and I would have never gotten a chance to do that had we just been, you know, with our heads down and doing our everyday life. I wouldn't have gotten a chance to do that. So it's been great in some regards.
And you get to ride a bike.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, John, one of the other perks of this is that you and I both have the time to compete in the Peloton All-Star Ride that's going to be going down at noon Eastern on ESPN this Saturday, tomorrow. So I'm curious, are you big on the Peloton, and have you been prepping for this in any way? What's the training been like leading up to this?
Well, I'm huge on the Peloton, but here's the thing. I have over probably 63 consecutive days on a Peloton. Wow. But when you're racing, that has nothing to do with those 63 days. when you're racing, it's a lot different. The adrenaline is a little bit different. And I'm looking forward to it. I just hope I don't come in last place.
Dawn, you and I have the exact same goal in this, because there are a lot of high caliber athletes all over the place here, great competitors in this, and we're all built like that. So I'm with you. We're going to avoid last place. We're going to go out there and we're going to get a good sweat for a great cause. Coach, we really appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck with everything as you guys get closer to rolling out this plan and getting athletes back on campus. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach. I hate to tell both of you. Well, she's gone now, but someone's going to come in last.
It ain't okay. It ain't going to be me and Dawn, by the way. And participating in the Peloton All-Star Ride with Dawn Staley and others is a part of our Golic and Wingo Home Olympic Trial, brought to you by California Almonds. With 6 grams of natural protein, fuel your whatever day, every day with California Almonds. So great stuff from her. Very interesting what's going to happen with the testing there, because we were looking it up before, and South Carolina, their athletic department was rolling out that idea that student athletes will be tested, both the COVID-19 test and the antibody test, when they get back on campus.
So again, all these student athletes and parents, probably more importantly, are, I'm sure, are sports people. So they're following the pro sports and what they're doing. And again, you're hearing testing, 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 testing all the time. And again, I'm not saying this in a negative way for college, because the cost would be unbelievable because of the amount of athletes. But I thought this probably was going to be the way it was going to go, is you are going to get a test, and you're going to get a test to see if you have the virus, and also an antibody test as well. And then after that, if you don't, it's basically going to be your temperature gets taken before you walk into any facility, whether where it's the training room, you know, the weight room, the court, whatever, and see how you are there, and then go from there. And I guess, would it be fair to say that's a good expectation? Would it be unfair to say they should be testing them more? I don't know the answer.
I think
to that.
Especially right now, because we talked about this, the difficulty of having to be first and be out there right now going through all this. Like she even said, we're going to get a chance to learn from what our football team goes through right now, and to see how they operate and how that protocol goes, because she mentioned it, and it's very true in this. Them coming back and testing right away, we know by far that the section of the population in the younger people in that age range are certainly much less at risk than the staffers, but they are still around all the people on the staff there. So monitoring this is important. She mentioned it. How you are able to keep these young people from going out and getting outside of this quarantine
If your state's
situation.
Open.
If your state's open,
right.
If you're going to be able to keep that, because that becomes one of the ultimate wild cards in the process.
Because then that becomes my point. If they go out, and again, their young kids are going to go out, now when they come back, is that the point over the next days or a couple of weeks? Do they need to be tested again on where they were and came back, you know, in the city somewhere? That again, I don't know. This is all above me, but I just know we're getting it so in our face about the thousands and thousands of tests that are going to be need to be made available, that the athletes are saying, demanding from their union to league side in the pros, that's just not going to happen in college. I think we just flat out are going to say that amount of testing, it may be more than just once, but it's not going to be the amount that the pros are getting.
I'm not willing to put a cap on that just yet, because there's a lot of time before we get to the season where this stuff would become especially important on this. But this is, again, and I know we bring this up a lot because it's a debate we've had. This is, I think, more of what Lincoln Riley is talking about. Mm-hmm. What comes back in the you're open to once athletes get on campus. We'll have much more on that coming up. We also want to remind you, head over to @GolikandWingo on Twitter and keep voting. Our tail of the tape is still open right now. The first two rounds have closed, and we've gone final results on there. And we've actually, we've got final results on movie division too. So we'll have to wrap that up with everybody later. It appears the voting has closed on that one too. The results not too shocking.
No, not really.
One, all things considered. But again, our Friday tail of the tape as usual. Pretty compelling.
It was
stuff.
Great. Again,
movie
coaches. It was movie coaches, non-football. We're gonna save that for another time, because there's so many great ones there.
Yes.
This was non. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little upset Gene Hackman wasn't in there coaching the Hoosiers.
I understand that. Let the record show. You fought hard for Gene Hackman in a movie that I continually refuse to see.
Gene Hackman, now, maybe we'll see when we do the football one, because he was the coach in replacements as well, so we'll see if he can make it into that one.
Yes, exactly. Still hope and still willing to keep that alive. All right, we've been talking so much about the NFL rules. I'd be remiss if I didn't get one of our favorite ESPN ranters involved in the conversation on this one. So we mentioned the NFL ultimately goes away from the idea of replacing the onside kick with the 4th-and-15 play, and our own Mike Wilbon.
Wow.
Came into way on the subject. Here's what he had to say.
None of it appeals to me. I don't want to see 4th-and-15. I just don't care. That's just gimmicky. It's stupid gimmicky. It ought to be beyond or beneath the National Football League. I don't like it. So we'll go to the sky judge, something that the NFL could do something about. But it appears, Tony, that this, I always talk about the NFL's arrogance. And I understand how arrogance comes about. You've got a superior product. The NFL does. But when it comes to tweaking the product, they won't do anything. They'll say, oh, no, we're going to show you our way is the best way, even when their way is not the best way. The best way is college football's way, in which interrupting the game doesn't mean you delay the game. The NFL could adopt this. They could get it right. They don't want to get it right. They've even got the consultant which helped set it up for college football, and they don't give a damn. They're going to say, oh, no, we're going to do it our way. We're going to get this our way, Tony. Please. It annoys the hell out of me that they can't get it right by saying somebody else has the right methodology.
And I will say, Tony Kornheiser then chimed in. He liked the 4th-and-15. And listen, we like to have Wilbon on and listen to, as we call him, the old man takes. But Lewis Riddick was on today. Booger McFarland was on today. And both of them agreed. They don't like it. They think it's gimmicky. I don't understand, you know. Lewis went the way of let's fix other things, and my thought is it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. You can take care of a few things. And they tweak the extra point. Now, this is certainly not a tweak of the onside kick. This is a change of the onside kick. The onside kick in the NFL is worthless. It is worthless. The onside kick was brought in to give a team that is down the chance to get the ball back. And I know, I think Lewis said it was Devin McCourty, a defensive player from the New England Patriots, and me as a former defensive player, I could see saying, wait a minute, do more during the game, you know, so you don't have to do this at the end of the game. I'm sorry, I don't like that argument at all. You have a part of the game that's non-existent. You have a part of the game between the kickers being awful at doing it and the way you set up the onside kick now. You can't overload and you can't move until they kick it, that it is virtually impossible to the tune of the last 2 years, 0 for 104. It is a wasted play. You don't want to do 4th and 15, okay, but change the damn thing. Do something different. At least have the guts to do something different.
I just don't buy gimmicky as an excuse.
I don't either.
Fourth
I'm with you.
4th and 15 is an offensive football play. What is more gimmicky than having a kicker line a ball up completely differently, try and hit a dribbler along the ground for a play that we don't run during the course of any other part of a football game in any way, shape, or form, but replacing it with an actual offensive football play is somehow the gimmick portion? The onside kick has been a gimmick since the jump. It's just been around long enough
exactly
for you to
right.
recognize
so
it.
So people are just saying, oh, it's been around, it's part of the game. So what? It doesn't mean it's a great part of the game. It doesn't mean it's a good part of the game. And now it's a non-existent part of the game as far as any kind of success rate. Change it. Don't be afraid to change it.
Now, what I will say is if you look at 4th and 15 and say, well, you're increasing the odds too much for a team that is down and maybe shouldn't be rewarded
right.
for being
okay.
in that situation, and you want to play with it, that's fine. Add a few yards. Do whatever you need to do so the numbers reflect an opportunity that you're comfortable with there. But it's got to be a realistic opportunity because right now we're basically dealing in
the I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't know how quickly we can get them. Before the extra point changed, the rate was damn near 100%, right?
Yeah.
And now that it has changed, I'd be interested to know what the success rate is.
And it's far down. I get what people say. It's at least the same play, though.
Okay, right. Okay, I get that. But I'm just looking at percentages. The percentage overall of onside kicks, not just the last 2 years, I think was about 10%. And third, you have to go really to third and 15s, more along those lines, was like 19 or 20%, right? So you've basically kind of doubled your pot, the chance of doing it. In quite honestly, in today's onside kick, you've done way more than that because today's onside kick is worthless. And they can't go back to the way it was because then the NFL would be saying, okay, we're taking this play and changing it back. Safety be damned, because they changed it because of safety. Because for people just to understand that onside kick, that used to be the front line of the kickoff team and the front line of the receiving team. All they did was smash heads. Yeah. That's all it was.
It was basically like when you see old Civil War war setups where
yes.
everyone march in line, and if you're in the front, you're getting hit by a cannonball.
You're dead. You're dead. It's exactly right. That's all it was. So they wanted to take that away, and they have, so they're not going to bring that part back.
No, they're not going to bring that back anytime soon, but it also appears that we're going to have to wait at least another year for any sort of change in this realm. But coming up next, we've got plenty of change going on in the world of college football and some very smart words on the timeline for college football season's kickoff. We'll get to that after this.
All right, AutoZone has more ways you get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, including ones for jobs like replacing your brake pads and rotors or installing new wipers. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Back after this. Go look and Wingo.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80. And, of course, you can always hear us on your smart speakers. Just ask them. They'll play them for us. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., and we'll hear from Kirby Smart, Georgia Bulldogs head coach, on what should govern the way that we come back to college athletics specifically and the approach that we hope they take there. But I did also want to take some time to mention, because we've seen, obviously, in the last few days after the horrific killing of George Floyd in Minnesota and the problems that have gone on there, a number of athletes coming out to speak on about this. And the one thing that we've seen is, you know, black athletes, minority athletes, right, speaking up on this and saying that this is not just our problem. This is not just something that could or should bother and affect us. And we have seen a number of athletes and a number of white athletes, mm-hmm, stepping up to the plate and acknowledging what's going on. Carson Wentz being the latest one of those, posted a long note yesterday on his Twitter page, which, amongst other things, said, "I've been thinking about George Floyd's situation and thinking of the words to say and coming up empty. All I know is that the institutional racism in this country breaks my heart and needs to stop. I can't even fathom what the black community has to endure on a daily basis." And went on to say a lot more in that, but Zach and Julie Ertz out with a statement as well on this, and it's a reminder that in a lot of instances, and we're a show that features three white guys, yep, that often, yep, has the difficulty of not feeling like you're trying to speak for minority members, right, or, you know, or black players or what they go through on a daily basis. But this has been one of those instances, and it's a continual reminder that this is the exact opposite. It's a situation where everyone's voice should be outraged by this and should be heard on this. And the action that should follow is also important, because this is an issue that should concern everybody when things like this continue to happen over and over to black
people. Completely agree. Again, we can never put ourselves in the shoes of the African-American, the minority community, as far as what they're going. But that doesn't mean we can't be outraged and shouldn't be outraged and shouldn't say, you know, whether it's minority, no matter what, it's human being, you know, being treated the way they are. And, you know, for the African-American community, what they've gone through with this. So, again, we don't put ourselves in those shoes, but we say, I mean, there has to be some justice for this. There has to be, because this was sickening. And again, obviously, not the first time.
No, and again, I think that's really the point in all this, too, is we hear over and over from the African-American community, this is what is happening. And, right, like you said, even if we can't ourselves see from that exact vantage point, we can stop and listen. And, yep, it seems like that is at least starting to happen. So Carson Wentz and others are being a part of that. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. So back in the world of college football and the things that go on in there, in the normal course of action, or in what feels like it's become our new normal in this now, Kirby Smart, Georgia's head football coach, came out the other day, and all we've heard about the money, putting people in stands, things like that, he came out with his own take on a Zoom call yesterday on what should decide how we go forward.
The worst thing we can do as coaches or as administrators is to feel like we have to do this in order to survive financially and make a decision that is costly to some, even one student athlete. And I know that from the Georgia perspective, every decision we're making on the return to sport is the safety and health and well-being. There won't be pressure to go work out, to go do this extra. The kids got to voluntarily do it. And if a guy doesn't feel comfortable, or if a guy has a fever, if a guy's sick, we don't want them to come in. We don't want them to put themselves in jeopardy. And we've got to convey that. We also, as fans, as Dog Nation, have a responsibility to make good decisions, the social distance. And I think people, the more this thing has gone, the more they begin to relax and say that, well, this won't affect me. The last thing we need right now, if people want to have a football season or any athletic season, is to have another flare-up. And the biggest thing we can do is take care of that by making good decisions, being aware.
I agree with just about everything he says, but I'm sorry, their financial impact has a place in this. It just does. It has a place in the real world for businesses that will never open again, and it has a place in colleges for how much they could be hurt financially by this. So it is going to be part of the equation.
It is, but he's saying it shouldn't drive the decision when it comes to the health and safety of the athletes involved.
I understand that, but it's a juggling act, right?
Because it is in the fact that it is a reality and it is going to be part of it, but just hearing, and I understand the realities that come with it, hearing a college football coach at a big-time school like Georgia say that is important.
Also, that big-time college football coach is not in danger. Is not in danger of anything financially bad happening. Okay? A lot of other sports are that are all of a sudden getting shut down at other colleges.
I understand that. That to me doesn't matter if it, like it said, risks the safety of an athlete that has to go out there and perform. I will always go back to that. I am sympathetic to those plights. It is not their job to go out there and save the other sports.
I agree with that. I'm just saying we're hearing that from a guy whose job is safe and whose money is secure.
Oh no, listen, we're hearing it from a guy who is a part of an institution in Georgia. Mark Slaybaugh and others did that great article on the money college football stands to lose. There are two programs, if you take away ticket revenue, would still be able to be self-sufficient in their athletic departments. It's Texas A&M, it's Georgia. They've got a lot of reserve money and they deserve credit because they have put themselves in that position.
I agree with that. They have not overextended. I agree with
in the way that they have spent or put themselves at financial risk in all of this. So they deserve praise, not to be discredited for that portion of things. But just because Kirby Smart has that position to speak from, he could still say anything he wants. And so to go out and put that message out there and the totality of it, that this is not the time to take your foot off the gas if you want college football the way that we all want it. All of these things from a person in his position are, to me, vital to hear right now.
So one of the things, don't rush this thing. I get it. You know, going back to the Lincoln Riley thing of do we need to rush it now? We just had Dawn Staley on. Dawn Staley is the head coach of one of the best women's basketball teams in the country at South Carolina. Now, they're not going until July, but she said the football team starting like June 8th, so she'll get to see. She laid out their plan. Was that sufficient for you?
I mean, sufficient's going to be a moving target in all this as what's available to them changes.
But what you heard from her, was there any part of you when she was saying, and again, you could hear it if you listen to our podcast, clusters of four, testing for the virus and the antibody when they get there, keeping separate times to work out. And was there anything you heard where you just thought to yourself, nope, don't like that, don't think that's going to work?
No, I was glad to hear they had a plan that put health and safety first.
I guess that's my point on the Lincoln Riley thing, thinking we should wait if there's a plan now.
What's the other thing that Dawn said, though? The biggest worry when you get the student athletes back on campus is
what they're going to do.
Under their control, what are they going to do and how are we going to respond testing wise with that? They mentioned South Carolina, when the athletes get back on campus, they're going to be tested for COVID-19 and the antibodies after that. And then after that, they're going to monitor symptoms on that. What she said is difficult to account for is what do these young people do in their downtime around there, especially if they're in states where things are open.
Okay. So to Lincoln Riley's case, if you waited a month and did it July 1st, it's the same thing.
It is a lot less time that you've got to account for that before you get to a mold. And you know this, once you get to the season, the environment is a lot more controlled. There's a lot less of your free time because of all the structure around that.
That's true. That part is at the start of the thing
that we're trying to preserve, which is the actual season. And so now you're bringing them back then, and whatever they've done at home, you can test for that on the way in, adjust accordingly, and then make sure you're preserving the most important part of the calendar. That's my point in all this is exactly what she talked about there is, after that, we don't know at this point if there's going to be enough tests to retest all the way along in the course of this.
And again, she said they're not coming until July 1st, but the football team is coming in June 8th. So she did say they'll get a kind of a good test because it's way more student athletes they'll be dealing with there to see how it all goes.
Yes. And so lots of learning that's
great
going
information
on in this
she gave us.
Yeah. I was going to say, really, if you missed any of that, make sure you go back and check out what Dawn said with us earlier today. But coming up next, from the octagon to the track, we're going to give you our smart picks for the weekend. That's next on Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense. Seriously?
Oh, seriously, it's so
Cliff?
Good.
Friday, right before the weekend, you got to go down that road?
Oh.
Really?
That is my drug of choice. Golic and Wingo reminding you, if you missed our interview today with Dawn Staley, and it was great, go check out the entire interview on demand in the Golic and Wingo podcast, brought to you by the Capital One Eno. The Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and helps you fix them. What's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Yeah, that again, who always plays those sound bites, that's fake Philly fan Cliff.
Oh, man, it is. Fake Philly, real toaster.
Whatever. You know what? You can play all the sound bites you want. Can't deny the truth. Fake Philly fan.
Hey, listen, that's a wrong guy to pick. He has access to all the receipts, man. So.
I know, and I've heard them all.
Don't worry, we got new heat coming next week, too.
new bleep. Anyway, at Golic and Wingo on Twitter, we've had our tail of the tape, our Friday fight card going all day. Want to get you updated on that quickly before we get to some smart picks coming up for the weekend because we have sports back.
Yes, we do.
Which means that technically we wouldn't have to do these fictional fight cards, but we like doing them. Why the hell not? So we had today movie coaches in our fictional fight card. Not that they'd be fighting, but who is the better coach?
It wasn't fictional. It was just movie coaches.
Just movie coaches.
As we'll get to, because one of these was actual real coach.
In the non-football division. As if we needed any more qualifiers on this.
How about
so now that we have strained that down, we had our first round of the old wise men division between Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid and Mickey from Rocky. Mr. Miyagi gets a 59% to 41% win in that one. Pretty solid for him. Round two. ESPN 8, the Ocho division.
Yep, we did. We went Chubbs from Happy Gilmore against Patches from Dodgeball, and Chubbs with a 62-38% win over Patches.
Big win there. And our last round, the Miracle Men division. Gordon Bombay from the Mighty Ducks versus Herb Brooks from Miracle and Real Life. As we well know, Herb Brooks takes the 57% to 43% win in that one. So our Friday tale of the tape there, voiced as always by the incomparable Adam Amin. Sad week around here. Going to be the last week of him voicing for us. We know he has obviously taken a job over with Fox and going to be doing a lot of great stuff with their analysis for sports, for football, and everything else coming up here.
He does a fantastic job in his real job.
Yes.
But what he did for us was fantastic. Any way we can hire him on the side for this.
We're going to try somehow. Try and find a way. We've got some interesting stuff in the works and some other friends that could help us out
going
forward.
But Adam, thank you very much
for entertaining our idiocy on the side of all this. One of the true nicest, kindest human beings I've ever met. A top three hugger all time if I had my money on it.
Jason Fitz is a hugger. Jason in your top three?
I'm not here to hurt feelings on this one. This is about Adam. This is not about slighting Jason.
I immediately went to you slighting somebody.
Yeah. It is incredible in all of this. So wishing Adam all the best there. Obviously one of an all-timer around here and a great friend to so many of us. We're excited to watch what's next for him. We are excited to watch plenty coming up this weekend. Some of the movies that we mentioned, Happy Gilmore, Dodgeball, The Karate Kid, and Rocky, all available on Redbox. So it's time for Smart Picks, brought to you by Redbox. And we've got this coming up this weekend, Dad. We've got actual live sports going on in the world of this weekend. Obviously, Smart Picks, one of their picks for this weekend, and Redbox is The Invisible Man.
Right.
A domestic abuse survivor is convinced that her ex-boyfriend, a wealthy scientist, has discovered a way to make himself invisible and that he's now stalking her after faking his own death. My God, what a sentence. Leaving her a sizable part of his fortune in his will, Elizabeth Moss in this one, Storm Reid, Oliver Jackson Cohen, Aldous Hodge, and Harriet Dyer all in this one. So,
would you rather...
This is the all-timer, right? I know where you're going. Say it.
Invisible or Superman?
Well, I was going to say invisible or flight is usually the concession, right? Because the idea is always I could either fly or be invisible and just in the past when this was okay. Go on any airplane I want.
Okay.
Or would you rather be invisible or Superman? Is there?
I don't think there's ever a time I wouldn't take Superman. So we'll go invisible or flight or whatever you want to do invisible.
Give me flight. Give me flight on that one.
Boy, invisible.
I just, you know what? I feel like all of the perks of invisible, being able to try, I can just accomplish by being able to fly places. It's awesome. Having wings, that would mean I get wings. Like, I don't want to just flap my arms. I want wings.
If you can just fly, you can't walk into a store and take a candy bar.
Well, all right, so now you're going to crime immediately in all of this. I see how you're wired.
Petty theft.
Petty theft. So you're only going to steal from institutions, not from like mom and pop places
I'm not going to hurt the little man. You know what I mean?
My God. What are you going to watch this weekend in sports while you're invisible and can walk into a Buffalo Wild Wings and steal from them?
What are our choices in sports?
Oh, I mean, we got a lot going on. In the course of this weekend, we got UFC Fight Night coming up on Saturday.
I always watch that. I definitely always watch that. I'm really interested to see where that goes to in the future with Conor McGregor.
We had Tyron Woodley on this week who's going to be a part of that. So certainly interested what his return to the octagon is going to look like. A guy at 38 years old, the last time he fought,
he lost.
A very distracted, and admittedly, he said he didn't feel like he was really there for that one.
Right.
Loss on the side of that.
Yeah. I know I'm definitely going to go down that road for sure.
We've also got the second part of the Lance Armstrong documentary that's going to be airing on ESPN.
That's going to be... I really wonder after that scene what people thought of Lance, if it actually is going to change or if we already thought that way about Lance, about the type of person he was, because there's always the two sides of just how much money he raised, which no matter what kind of person you are, that money, has no personality. The money went to good stuff, right? So that part of it was good. But the person he was, not so much for breaking the rules. You can sit there and say, well, everybody broke the rules. Doesn't make it right. But he was part of tons of people in that sport who did. But just the type of person he was. And I think a lot of people already knew that about him. So I wonder if this really magnified it for people.
I don't know if as many people in the outside world knew what a monster he turned
out to be. Do you think The Last Dance changed people's thought process? Maybe not my age so much, but your age that said, boy, Michael Jordan was great, but man, what a...
No, because I think at the end of the day, he's still associated with winning and not with scandal. And we're usually in sports willing to kind of give you the benefit of the doubt as long as you're winning in all of this right now. So that's a big part of that, certainly. Again, also check out the High Note and Scoob on Redbox this weekend. You can rent the newest releases fresh from the theater at the box or on demand. You can also watch me, Booger McFarland, Dawn Staley, and others
looking forward
in the Peloton Challenge on Saturday, noon Eastern on ESPN, the ESPN app, ESPN Twitter, everywhere.
Can't wait to see you sweat.
Oh, man, I just hope I don't puke. That's all I
do. Don't throw.
I don't want to come in last. Don't throw. And I don't want to throw up.
And don't fall off the Peloton.
We're going to try and do all of those things. Also, next week, we're going to talk to Matt Nagy, Rulon Gardner, for you, Dad.
Rulon Gardner, let's talk wrestling.
Plenty of that Monday on Golic and Wingo.
Woo!